Today on Real Life Radio.
My friend, your gospel is so valuable that God has given you. It is so powerful that there's a world out there in absolute ignorance, not knowing that they need it more than anything in this world. They think they need the cars, the planes, the money, the boats, the things, and all that will perish. It will rust, it will break, it will crack, it will crash. The thing that they need the most, they're missing it.
Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. You know, as war and conflict intensify across the globe, where can we as people find hope in the future?
Jesus said there'd be days just like this that would preempt the final days of His physical return. That's the second coming of Christ.
Never before have current events come together so perfectly to align with biblical prophecy. And there's no one better to share that with us, the reality of the Bible and its link to current events, than our very own Pastor Jack Hibbs. He's got a new book called Countdown, All Eyes on God's Ultimate End Game. Now, in this book, you're going to discover how things are falling into place, just as the Bible predicted thousands of years ago.
What do we want to do? We want to look to the Bible and find out how it ends. Right? Don't you want to know?
You can learn about what's coming up next in the prophetic calendar, why Israel is the most controversial hotspot in the world, and the role that Russia plays, prophetically, in all this global conflict. Countdown, All Eyes on God's Ultimate End Game. It's our gift to you for your gift of any amount, and it's available at our website, jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack now continues his series on the book of Revelation with a message titled, Heavenly Visions Make for Earthly Announcements, Part 2. In Revelation chapter 14, we'll see that the visions from God are not given to us in chronological order, and this really is an insightful chapter into the glorious events that follow the Great Tribulation period. You see, now as we look into verses 6 and 7, the Apostle John is given a vision from God that will complete the tribulation period. His vision is of a mighty angelic being who will bring the gospel to every people, every tongue, every nation. It's a gospel of grace, not a religious act to be earned, but a relationship with Jesus Christ himself, believing that he died for our sins, he was buried, and he rose again on the third day. So today, on this part of the message, Pastor Jack goes on to say that it's God's desire that all the world is saved. The Lord reaches out to everyone, but it really is our choice as to whether or not to stay in our sin or honor God and His offer of redemption. Now in his message called Heavenly Visions Make for Earthly Announcements, Part 2, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
God gives the terms regarding salvation. We don't go to God and say, all right, God, listen up, this is how it's going to be. Can you imagine? Can you imagine? Gabriel, Michael, what is that peep squeak I hear kind of? No, God, this is how it's going to be. I'll tell you how I'm going to get saved. No, God makes the terms. And for many people who don't know the gospel, this scares them because they think the terms are impossible. Jesus said concerning the terms, believe on him whom the Father has sent. Is that difficult? Believe on Christ. The Bible says if you believe that God sent Jesus Christ, that he died for our sins, that he was buried and rose again from the dead, if you believe that in your heart and confess that with your mouth, you shall be saved. And all the theologians run into the corner and try to figure out what that means. Jesus said to trust him. The fact of the matter is that the Lord has brought about salvation on his terms, and his terms are these: to trust him, to believe in him. Hey, were you guys, I don't know about you, but was it about 3 o'clock this morning? Was that something? Anybody know what I'm talking? Do you not know what I'm talking about? That thing went off and I went, Lord! That was a flash and a lightning bolt that made you sit up in bed. Wow, I thought, that's it. Da-da-da-da! We're out of here. I started kind of, you know, checking the going. I thought the Lord was coming back this morning. Not only did he initiate it, but concerning salvation, he has sustained it. I love this. He has sustained. The gospel is sustained by the power of God. Well, I don't know. Seems like that message kind of pooped out and I need to create a new one. Note here, it is the everlasting gospel. It means it never had a beginning. It's never going to have an ending in the mind of God. Listen, church, it has never changed. God didn't start a gospel and then kind of reconsider it. Nah, we need to tweak this one a little bit. It is the eternal, everlasting gospel. God, listen, was planning on redeeming you and I and all those who will trust in him. God's plan of redemption, listen, was before creation ever happened. Why? Because God is eternal. Did God know if Adam and Eve were going to sin? Yes. Then why, you know, think about it. Then why didn't God just stop the show before it was ever born, right? Because the Bible tells us in the book of Ephesians that through the eons of time, aeonios, aeonios, ongoing ages throughout all eternity, God would show his grace having redeemed us. It was more important to God to not throw mankind away, knowing that they were going to fall, but that God would save mankind out of his plight. That is a loving God. And he sustains the gospel. My friend, your gospel is so valuable that God has given you. It is so powerful that there's a world out there in absolute ignorance, not knowing that they need it more than anything in this world. They think they need the cars, the planes, the money, the boats, the things, and all that will perish. It will rust, it will break, it will crack, it will crash. The thing that they need the most, they're missing it. And we often walk around because we don't know the gospel, so timid, so afraid to say anything, that what you and I have in these earthen vessels, the Bible says, a treasure so precious that we need to give them this good news of the gospel. The tragic thing is that most Christians don't even know what the gospel is to give it. They say silly things like this. You should go to my church. That ain't gonna happen. You need to say, listen, Jesus Christ, according to the scriptures, came. He died. He was buried. And he rose again on the third day for you. That's the gospel. You say, well, that's not very powerful. Did you know, according to the Bible, you could preach that at a crusade and get off the platform and walk away? It's true. It's eternal. It's everlasting, and the Holy Spirit will use it in a supernatural way. The power of God, sustained by God. Now look, last week I mentioned a little bit about how I'm so glad that I've been sealed with the Holy Spirit. Do you remember we talked about that last week? Being sealed, and I'm so excited. Jesus is going to take me and deliver me into heaven, and I'm so glad. And I don't worry about that. And somebody, actually a couple of people came up to me after service, and they were all been out of shape. And I had a lot of fun with them. They were all bent out of shape, and they said, I don't see how you're so confident that the Lord's going to take you to heaven. And I said, I am. Well, I don't see how you can be. And I said, well, it's easy. I am a rotten, scummy sinner. I was lost without him. He died on the cross for me, and the Holy Spirit came inside my life, and I know that I'm saved. The Bible says these things are written that you might know that you have eternal life, and I said, I know that I do. And they're all bent out of shape. And I'm sorry for that. I'm sorry that they feel that way. But how do you read this? Gee, what did Jesus mean when in John 10:27 he says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them. What did he mean? And they follow me. What could that mean? He says, I give them eternal life, John 10:28, and they shall never perish. I wonder what that means. Neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hands. Well, now I really need to know what that means. John 10:29, my Father who has given them me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. I don't worry. I'm grateful. I'm glad that when a lightning bolt comes over your house and the room lights up, it's like, Lord! Or whatever it might be in our lives. That's not arrogance. God knows. Why do you think the apostles and the writers of the Bible, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, they wrote with such passionate love and adoration of Christ because they knew him in whom they trusted in. And they had boldness, they were resilient because they had a gospel that's sustained by God. Ladies and gentlemen, you don't have to prop up the gospel. It is the power of God. And we need to give it. And before we can, we need to walk in it. It is the power of God. The Bible tells us, jot these verses down. I'm going to give them to you really fast. Hebrews 7:25 says, therefore he is able to save completely those who come to God through him because he always lives to intercede for us. That's a wild verse. You know that Jesus is our high priest, right? When the Bible says he's living to intercede for us, this is a very cool thing to consider theologically. How secure is your salvation? It's only as secure as Christ lives. Did you hear that? Hey, are you guys here? Thank you. Didn't know if you were out there. My salvation is only as secure as Jesus Christ living for all time and eternity. What's the answer to that? Forever. I love this. He's able to save us completely, says the Bible. I kind of save you halfway. No. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9. Hang on to your seats. Ushers, guard the doors. 1 Corinthians 6, 9 through 11. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Don't be deceived. These are the ones who will not inherit the kingdom of God. He says, don't be deceived. Number one, fornicators will not inherit the kingdom of God. Fornicators. What's a fornicator? People who are sexually impure. The most blatant definition of fornicators is two single people having sexual relationship together of any sorts. Doesn't have to be intercourse. It can be other types of things. The Bible says that you will not inherit the kingdom of heaven. Don't get up and leave yet, because everybody will know that you're... Never mind. idolaters. An idolater. Well, that's the Bible 2,000 years ago. Idolaters. We don't have any idol worshipers today. Oh, yeah, we do. I struggle with this one. Lisa, she laughs because she just doesn't get it. We'll drive by the airport or somewhere. I'll see a real little cute, slick looking sweetheart. I mean, just the finest curves and figures of a little Cessna 140. Single engine, two-seater airplane, vintage, beautiful thing. And I'll say, oh, that is, man, that is so beautiful. And I have to say, Lord, you have to help me here. Now, for some of you, it may be a Ferrari or whatever, but I just love that old airplanes. And it's really a temptation. And she goes, man, are you crazy? How can an airplane be beautiful? It is. And I'm telling you, if I sit there and I start drooling on the window as I drive by and look at it, that's idolatry. It really, I'm joking, and sort of, but... It's what you're living for. Oh, man. And you just got to have this thing. And your identity's wrapped up in that thing. And if I don't have that thing, I don't know. I'm not going to equal up. I'm not going to measure up. I've got to have that thing. That's an idol in your life, pal. You need a life. You've got problems. That's an idol. The Bible says nobody worshiping idols goes to heaven. What else does it say? Adulterers. That's either a single person having sex with a person that's married, or two married people having sex and they're not married to one another. Make that clear. That's adultery. God says, the Bible says, you're not going. Nor homosexuals. It says you're not going. Nor sodomites. Verse 10. Nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor reviles, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. Say, oh my goodness. Well, Jesus comes on the scene and says what? If you look after a person and lust for them in your heart, you're guilty of adultery. Well, then who can get saved? Next verse, 1 Corinthians 6:11, and such were some of you. Paul was talking to the church at Corinth, and such were some of you. But you were washed. Oh, wow. What? I was washed. We were washed. But you were sanctified. But you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ by the Spirit of God. Wow. You mean there's hope? Yes, there's hope. So if any of those things apply, either in thought or in deed, you can be washed. This is the gospel. Who in their right mind would not run up and say, sign me up for the gospel? Isn't it wild, don't you think? Think about it. Why do people go, I don't want that gospel. You walk up to somebody, because they don't know the true gospel, the good news. Gospel, evangel, good news. The Bible says God has come to give us good news. And the world is dying today for good news. The world is longing today for good news, or to have good news. Revelation 1:5 tells us that we've been washed. Listen, to him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. There's only one sin the Bible says you will not be forgiven of. Anybody know what that is? What? Blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. Anybody know what that is? What's blasphemy of the Holy Spirit? Exactly. Not accepting Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. That's what's going to put a person in hell, is not accepting Jesus Christ. You say, man, that's what I can't stand about you Christians. It's so narrow and it's got to be your way. Look, first, it's not our way. We just happen to be on the other side of the decision. And once you make the decision, man, we get to see how incredibly cleansed we are now. And the life that we used to live is on the other side. And we live a life now. We go, man, remember, we used to plan on doing this stuff. And we paid people for this stuff. And now we don't have anything to do with that stuff. It's not our way. It's on God's terms. And he sustains the gospel. It's the truth. Listen, verse 6 goes on to tell us that the gospel was given for all of mankind. It was for all of mankind. Look here where it says in verse 6 that the message of the everlasting gospel is preached to those who dwell on the earth, to every nation, to every tribe, tongue, and people. Look, there's nobody else. It's everybody. The frightening thing, my friend, is this. Again, I told you scholars differ as to what does this mean. Is this the fulfillment of Jesus' promise that the gospel shall be preached in all the world and the end will come? I believe it is clearly. But is it a gospel offering where people can repent? This is where scholars differ. Or is it a gospel statement that declares their judgment? Do you see that? You say, well, how can that be? I thought you said it was good news. Oh, church, listen, if you forget everything else today, don't forget this. The Bible says that the preaching of the gospel, that the giving of Jesus Christ to the world, listen, to those who receive it, it is as though, and it's an aroma of life, like a perfume. To those who hear the good news, they say, wow, give it to me. I need it. There are those who say, I don't want it. And the Bible says to them, it is an aroma unto death. Billy Graham said, I don't care about how many people come forward in a crusade. All I need to do is preach the gospel that in such a way, decisions will be made. Some will be yes. Some will be no, but the gospel's to be preached in a way that decisions must be made. Jesus came to set us free from sin and from the destruction of hell. To choose him is to receive his free gift of eternal life. To stay in our condition, we willfully sin against the will of God. And as it is described in the book of Galatians, we step over the body of Christ. We're so bent on doing it our own way that we wind up rejecting the free gift of salvation. And hell is all that remains. And the Bible makes it very clear that God is not willing that anyone go to that place. The gospel was given for all of mankind. Quickly, why? Because God has created you and I uniquely his. You can search the Bible from cover to cover. You will never find any even insinuation that Jesus Christ died to redeem angels, not once. In fact, there's evidence clearly that angels are unredeemable if they fall. Satan cannot repent. I know that Mark Twain said, what's wrong with Christians? If they loved God and loved everyone, Mark Twain said, then every Christian should have a prayer meeting to pray for Satan that he might be saved. Well, poor Mark Twain. He didn't understand that angels cannot be redeemed. The Bible says that God created us in his image, not angels. Jesus Christ came and died on the cross to save man, not angels. We are uniquely His. And yet we find people all around this world and maybe in this sanctuary kicking and fighting and resisting Him when all He has done is loved you and says to you, will you come to me? And we are like spoiled, rotten children that just push and kick away that very thing that we need the most. We are uniquely His. My friend, do not ever, and I've said this often, do not ever, ever question your value and your worth. Any one of us, you can be a Satanist in here this morning. Don't ever doubt your worth to God. God loves you. Your life means everything to Him. He's got a plan for your life that was engineered before you were ever born. It's like instructions that are detailed for this little toy or this little game or this model or whatever we would open up out of a box. There's instructions. God has instructions specifically for your life, and you're missing it without Him. And a lot of people talk about self-esteem. I tell you what, I've never been big on self-esteem because it never really worked for me until I understood God-esteem. When I look at God and see Him in all of His glory, that He would love a wretch like me, that puts me over the top of any self-esteem manual or book or 12-step program you could ever read or write. He loves me. What more do you need about your self-esteem that God loves you? The thing is, we don't believe it. We sing about it in church, but we don't believe it out in the world. Another thing is this, God's desire for all mankind to be saved is clear in Scripture. The Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians 5 that we as Christians are to be ambassadors, that we're to go out. And the Bible tells us that we become new creations in Christ by trusting in Him. And that the Bible tells us that He, Jesus Christ, who knew no sin, became sin for us, that we might receive the righteousness of God through Him by faith. 2 Corinthians 5:21. Then we move out from there and we are to be ambassadors for Christ. Now that we're Christians, we're going to heaven, we should and need to tell others if we really believe this news. You know, right now we have a team up in Sacramento that's been working the streets. They were invited by Metro Calvary up there in Rockland, just south of, I don't know if it's south or it doesn't matter, Sacramento area. And that brand new church, they were getting schooled by our evangelism team to go out on the streets. And I when I was in D.C., I was getting a phone call. It's fantastic. This is what's happening. It's so exciting. People are finding out what the gospel is, and they're telling strangers, and they're seeing strangers say, that's what it is? He loves me? And people are responding. And this brand new church that's just starting out is seeing the power of the Word of God. That's good news.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio with his message called Heavenly Visions Make for Earthly Announcements, Part 2. Thanks for being with us today. Heavenly Visions Make for Earthly Announcements, Part 2 is part of Pastor Jack's series called The Book of Revelation. It's a series on the final book of the Bible and the unveiling of future events for us and for the world. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio. You know, if the book of Revelation is not the most important wake-up call of all time, I can't imagine what is. We need a personal encounter with God, or things, quite frankly, won't go well for us. And when you think about it, God loves us so much that He wants to be our way of escape, and He wants us to allow Him to give us His gift of eternal life in heaven with Him. Now, is this whole idea new to you? What's it going to take? Well, why don't you let us help you with that question? Simply go to our website, jackhibbs.com, and then click on that tab that says Know God. Now, that's spelled out K-N-O-W, God. And once you're there, we're sure you'll realize that God really does love you and that you're not here by accident. There's more to life than just existing. There really is. Find out more at jackhibbs.com and click on that tab that says Know God. That's jackhibbs.com. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.